1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News. Police rescued drivers in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. This woman got stuck in Westchester County, New York, when heavy rain triggered flash floods throughout the tri-state region.
Within like 15, 20 minutes, it went from maybe just a little stream of water, and then it just started flooding over.
New flash floodings held up the search for about 160 people still missing after July 4th's flash flooding in central Texas. CBS's Jason Allen in hard-hit Kerrville.
The Kerr County Sheriff said that they are going to be working hard out here for at least another month or two, but they could be searching for victims for the next 6 months.
President Trump spoken to the BBC about his threat to slap 100% tariffs on countries that buy Russian oil if Vladimir Putin doesn't reach a ceasefire with Ukraine within 50 days.
Do you trust him?
I trust almost nobody. To be honest with you.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two places that house veterans in need now have to close because money to keep them open wasn't included in the state budget. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program provides temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. It operates three short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. Governor Tony Evers added almost $2 million in his budget proposal to keep funding the three sites, but Republicans removed it and gave the program $0 in new money. That's forcing the housing centers in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay to close. Evers says the Joint Finance Committee was warned by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan, basically accountants of the legislature, that this would happen if they didn't invest more money. Evers called the move irresponsible and says he'll keep fighting for veterans. And when the legislature is back in session this fall, veteran services will be a top priority. The Chippewa Falls and Green Bay locations will close September 30th. Veterans there will be offered alternative housing.
A recent United Way study found one in three Wisconsin families are struggling to afford basic expenses. According to the study, about 24% of Wisconsin households are identified as ALICE families by the organization, meaning asset limited, income constrained, and employed. The designation covers families with enough income to remain above the federal poverty line, but are unable to afford basic needs like housing, childcare, and transportation. The study also found the number of ALICE families in the state has grown by about 12% since 2010. In central Wisconsin, United Way of Marathon County and United Way of Southwood and Adams counties offer 211 services for those in need. You can call or text 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Brewers add more players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers have wrapped up their picks in the Major League Baseball draft. Milwaukee adding 22 new players to the organization, 8 position players, and 14 pitchers. The All-Star game is tonight in Atlanta. The Brewers' Freddy Peralta there along with closer Trevor McGill.
I'm pretty fired up, that's for damn sure. Just happy to be around this clubhouse, you know, and great group of guys to enjoy this with, that's for damn sure.
I asked rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski what was his favorite All-Star game to watch growing up. The Miz says it was the one he saw in person back in 2012 in his hometown at the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. What, that would have been 12? 12, there you go. I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and muggy again today. Our high right around 88 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, some locally heavy rain tonight and tomorrow. We'll get to 67 tonight, 79 with a scattered thunderstorm or two likely tomorrow with more rain tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she laying eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be on our first leg of our tour with Jane and Greg at their home at Radio City Park in Racine, along with Zommers and Kringle. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, July 15th, 2025. Parker Olson produces this fine show, and he is standing by in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in just a sec, followed by State Senator Jamie Wall from the Green Bay area. We talked to State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner yesterday from the Green Bay area, and we talked about the state budget. It was, of course, a very bipartisan affair with Republicans and Democrats voting yes and no for various reasons. Representative Rivera-Wagner was a no and explained why. Senator Wall was a yes and tells us about the positive things that were in the budget. That's coming up in just a bit. But first, let's check in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot for what appears to be one very hot, sticky day. This is like a Nashville chicken hot honey kind of day. It's that much heat and stickiness that we're bringing to the day, right?
Yeah. I like the way you put it. It adds a little glaze to the situation.
Yeah, everybody's going to have a little glaze when they come in from outdoors.
Tasty.
Hopefully without the pickles. I'm not a pickle guy. I don't order the Nashville stuff because they throw pickles on it. So just give me the hot honey chicken. I don't need the pickles. But
the pickles do throw it off just a little bit, in my opinion, as well. I agree.
And frankly, if there were pickles in the weather, you know, that would be another thing too. But instead,
that would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. Instead,
it's raining pickles.
Raining pickles. Hallelujah. No, it's not like that at all. It's just going to be steamy and sticky, Brittany.
It sure is. Yes, a very, very hot one. We're looking at temperatures pretty much near 90 across the state, mid-80s. Absolutely. That's what you're hitting today. Plus the humidity on top of that. The heat index is really going to be feeling more like those mid-90s for a lot of us, low 90s for some of us. I mean, this morning it's already 75 degrees in Siren. And then, of course, you go by Lake Superior, it's about 63 degrees. So we're already starting off with a mild morning. We've got a ton of sunshine out there. There's only a few clouds far, far northwest up towards Lake Superior area. Those are going to start to build and spread a little bit more in towards the state, but staying into the northwestern parts of the corner because we've got a front that is just lining up there and stalling there tonight. But then by tomorrow, this low pressure system starts to push down south and it kind of swings some storms and some heavy rainfall as we go into our Wednesday for the rest of the state. So we've got a wet section of the week ahead, but today is definitely going to be a hot and dry one.
Or as Rob puts it from Tigerton, Louisiana swamp weather in Wisconsin today.
Sounds about right. Mosquitoes everywhere.
Yep. Good morning from Tigerton, Rob says. It's sunny, hazy, 68. Yesterday I mowed 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. Took an hour lunch at Brianna's in Wittenberg to enjoy the air conditioning. Yeah. Today I've got a mow in Tigerton. I had to stock up on lots of Gatorade just to stay hydrated. It's like Rob knows exactly what Brittany's going to say. And if Greg Bach would burst through that wall like the Kool-Aid man right now, if he could, to tell Rob to stay hydrated. And Rob goes on to say, I really appreciate the people that work in the field to teach people with developmental disabilities because I was on the receiving end of their services and appreciated their help on this Developmentally Disabled Professionals Appreciation Day. So again, thanks to all those folks for all that you do.
Absolutely.
Not as smoky, thankfully, from the Canadian wildfires. The discomfort is just all ours. It's just the natural discomfort that we feel.
Pretty
instead
much.
In there.
Let's go from one to the other, though, you know.
Yep. But it's I was mentioning moment. How yesterday it was, you know, hot and a lot of folks were on the lake. Either they were vacationing or just, you know, some of the local kids on summer vacation. But there were a lot of people that said, let's just get on the jet ski or any boat and anything that gets the water churning and puts a little moisture up there. Not the kind that you sweat in, but the kind that makes you feel better, you know?
The refreshing kind, yes.
The refreshing kind, yes. So
a sprinkler.
I expect it's going to be another noisy one on the lake today. Thank you, Brittany. We'll check back with you in an hour.
Sounds good.
As always, a reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletters at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but so happy to have this morning partnership every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. You can sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi. Don't forget the wi.com, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. Among the things that we also have are a Sunday newsletter that I put together, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about Wisconsin politics. And I have to say that our question of the week has really tapped into something lately. And it isn't all about Zoran Mamdani, the Democratic nominee who is the next mayor apparent in New York City, but AOC from New York City, Bernie Sanders, certainly other folks, there are people in our legislature now who describe themselves as Democratic socialists. And for some people, that is really off-putting, feeling like they are going to turn off all the moderates and it's going to cost Democrats elections. And there are plenty of others who go, no, 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 this is what we needed. This is a breath of fresh air. No squeamish Democrats. These are folks that are saying, look, these are our values. This is what we absolutely want to do. And then there are those in the middle that say, hey, there's room for both. There's room for centrists. There's room for people who describe themselves as Democratic socialists or far left, whatever you want to call it. And so we asked, what's your opinion on this? Now, I haven't tallied up the results fully yet, but I bring this up because it really did bring in a lot of responses right away all over the place. I mean, if you just go by the A, B, C, or D, and I'll tell you the D answer in a minute here. They are all over the place. There is here's Don here who votes for the big tent. There's room for all, where he says we need to have room for an open discussion of issues. Let's see. There's one here that also says big tent, but Liz says Dems must have a coherent, simple, values-based message, not just anti-Trump. After all, Mamdani won on the topic of affordable housing. And then there's C, who says, nope, option C is, nope, don't go too far to the left. Dawn says, let us not forget past losses due to far-left idealism, a.k.a. Bernie Sanders. And so on it goes. So we'd love to know your opinion. You can be a subscriber to our Sunday newsletter simply by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the top banner. Or if you just want to weigh in on this question, send us a note. Radio@upnorthnewswi.com is our email address. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or, of course, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, just put a little something in the comment section right there. All right, State Senator Jamie Wahl joins us now from the Green Bay area. We'll talk about the state budget and more. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Hey, nice to have you here. Let's just get right into the way that I started off the segment here, saying that for the state budget bill that passed last week, there were both Democratic and Republican votes, both for and against, for various reasons. You came down on the side of voting yes, although you were quick to add in your statement that hardly makes this a perfect document. Tell us why, in the end, you came down on the side of voting for it.
Sure. Well, look, this was not the budget I would have written, but you don't get everything you want in life all the time. And, you know, fundamentally, if you want a budget that's going to reflect the prior needs of the Democratic Party, you need to have Democrats in the majority in the legislature, and we don't have that. But we found ourselves, or I found myself as a Democrat in the Senate with some unexpected leverage, because it turns out that the Republicans in the Senate are internally divided and were not able to come together around a plan of their own. Okay. So that left us with a couple options. We could have thrown up our hands and walked away and said, this is not the budget we would have written, or we could do what we did, which was come to the table and make it better. One thing that really influenced my thinking was that the state would have lost more than $1 billion in federal Medicaid funding if we hadn't been able to beat the Trump budget to the punch. That's why you saw Governor Evers signing the budget in the middle of the night. And I've gotten an education in my brief time in the legislature from people who depend on the Medicaid program. I mean, it's not just folks that don't have a lot of means. It's seniors in nursing homes who've exhausted all their other income. It's kids with disabilities and their parents. I mean, it's rare that I run into a family like that where one of them doesn't pull me aside and say, look, my kid is in Katie Beckett or some other Medicaid program, and I really would appreciate it if you go to bat for us. And I took that seriously. So in my mind, the alternatives were worse. It was either that we were going to walk away and have no budget at all, which is basically what we have minus the good things that we were able to get in there, or that they were going to, the Republicans were going to get organized and pass some hard right document that catered to the most extreme members. And neither of those were a win. So I took the wins in front of us, and I think that was the right thing to do.
Do you feel like, without getting everything that you wanted, because again, that's part of what politics is, and sure, the governor certainly knows that as well, those things that didn't happen, do they basically just become the platform that you run on and that Democrats run on in 2026, is to say, look, these things weren't in, you vote for us, this is what's going to come next time around? Or do you look at other factors and you don't worry about what didn't make it into the budget?
Well, look, there were a lot of good things in the budget that we were able to improve. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we saved the state's childcare industry from a crisis. Governor Evers had used some federal money to help prop up our daycare centers through the pandemic. Those funds were expiring. We had surveys that told us that maybe a quarter of all the daycare centers in the state were going to go out of business, and think of the impact that has on kids and their families, really in the Wisconsin workforce. This is the best budget for the UW system in a generation. And we were, you know, in the middle of conversations about whether we would need to close four-year colleges, and now we are emphatically not in that territory, and that's a win for the students and, again, the future workforce of our state. The one area in which I wish we could have done more was K-12 education. We actually put record increases in special education funding in the budget, because that's what every school district administrator in the state had told us to do. But $500 million doesn't go as far as you think across the state, and some school boards are going to be facing tough choices as a result of this. So that's at the top of my list for something we need to do better at next time, by our kids and, you know, by our property taxpayers as well, because if districts go to referendum, what they're doing is transferring school funding down into the local property tax levy instead of onto the state tax base, which is bigger and more diverse.
All right. And then finally, now that the budget is passed, what else would you like to get accomplished in upcoming sessions, either this fall or early next year before the next round of elections?
Look, what I heard from my voters last year in the campaign and the last 6 months in office is that they're concerned about the cost of living. So I'm focused myself on a number of bills that are going to help with that. We'll be rolling out one in a couple of weeks now that is going to help school districts and their health insurance costs. I've got several others that pertain to different ways to make housing more affordable. My gosh, you know, Green Bay is not Manhattan or even Madison in terms of housing costs, but we were, I think, seventh in the country last year in how much our costs increased here, and people have sure noticed. So there are different levers there with the building code, with zoning, with giving local governments a few more tools that they can use to promote housing development. So that's one area I'm focused on.
It's interesting that Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive candidate for governor, we played back an interview from him last hour, and he too cited affordable the cost of housing. So it's clearly something that everybody's aware of, The solutions are another matter, and I'm sure there'll be differences when we talk about that next time around. State Senator Jamie Wahl from Green Bay, thank you so much for the visit and the update on the budget bill. We appreciate it so much.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pat.
All right, Jamie, thank you again. A local update is next for some of you. Others will join me along with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and later, Hans Breitenmoser. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It's the WXCO Morning Report. During Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. And today, very happy to welcome across the table once again the Executive Director of Extra Innings, the terrific cancer charity that helps folks right here in our area in central Wisconsin, Ted Hartke. Ted, good to see you.
Good seeing you too, Chad. Thanks for having me on, friend.
I want you to just to sit down and be able to relax for a few minutes because you're running around everywhere, and you were saying that you got a nice midsummer tan, maybe a midsummer burn, running around spreading the gospel of extra innings, and I know that it's something that you're so passionate about, and we're going to talk about another great event coming up on Saturday that we're very proud to be part of. But before we talk about the event specifically, it's always good for the folks that may not have heard of extra innings to get a little thumbnail sketch on who you are, what you do, because it is a fantastic organization. What is Extra Innings?
I appreciate it, Chad. Extra Innings, folks, is a charity I started up 3 years ago. It's local. The reason why I started it is, and for 24 years prior to that, I raised funds for American Cancer Society and St. Jude's and all the big national ones. And they all do a great job, okay? I know that. And a lot of folks have been helped by them. It just wasn't a good fit for me anymore. I was tired. I'll be honest. I was tired of supporting their large salaries and the fact that the money would leave our community. You didn't know where it went. So I decided to start our own charity. It's a homegrown charity. It's called Extra Innings right here in Wausau, Wisconsin is the charter. I'm a 501c3. And the unique thing about us is it's part of our bylaws. It's also obviously with the state. We're licensed, and part of our bylaws state that we have no salaries. This is truly a volunteerism organization. It's a true nonprofit.
Blood and sweat.
lot of blood and sweat, buddy.
I mean, it's not about not that money. It's all about the work and the incredible work that you're doing.
And the main thing, too, remember, is not only are we raising funds, but the money stays here.
Yeah.
It helps out our local cancer patients. Okay.
And you've told us so many wonderful stories about the lives you've touched.
Yes.
Have you had any new stories maybe recently that you'd like to share?
My mind is just spinning right now. I got going on.
But we help even an old one. I
mean, but we help people a couple ways, folks. Obviously, a fundraiser is what? One who raises funds. I'm not a fundraiser. You know what I'm saying? And you know this.
Right.
We are a movement. This is a movement, folks. And the reason why I say that, and that's a bold statement, but listen to me for a second, please. Pull over on the side of the road and listen, okay? Fundraisers raise fund monies. Well, we do raise money, and the money's going to help out cancer patients through the Aspirus Cancer Foundation, through the Marshfield Clinic Pediatric Oncology Foundation, and also through Joshua's Camp, which is a children's cancer camp. Mm-hmm. So those are all dear to me. We'll get back to that. But we're more than a fundraiser because at our big event in September coming up, it's called the Celebration of Life. It goes all day long. In addition to raising funds and helping folks with cancer and folks who have beaten cancer, we're celebrating their lives. That's why it's called a celebration of life. Get it? Okay. Yep. However, at the end of the day, we also remember our fallen angels, our loved ones lost to cancer. Mm-hmm. And that's just as important as basically the other buckets. So you're raising funds, but we're also, how many people do we help by remembering their loved ones lost to cancer? And that doesn't cost us a penny. And the way we do that at the event, as you know, Chad, is at 6 o'clock at night is our luminary service where we light candles, we have a small prayer service, and we remember our loved ones lost to cancer. John Q. Public, you come out. You can nominate folks. You can go on our website. You can nominate folks there for the luminary service. I'm one of many people who are proud to and be honored to read their names. And this year, we're also adding a photo honor wall that you can also submit photographs, bring a photograph, and put it on the photo honor wall. Very powerful, and we're all going to cry. And we're and a lot of people out there need this.
And another aspect of what you do, and I think, you know, you talk about buckets. There's always buckets. There's a bucket, I think, for groups that are doing the incredible work of trying to find cures.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love the aspect of what you do is that there are folks that are right now fighting
right now
within their families, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, a child, and they're fighting it right now. And that's what you're doing is adding a little support, a little joy.
And hope. You know, and that's what it's about, you know, giving people something back. Going back to stories, one of my favorite stories was in year one, and I'll take this with me to my grave. What a beautiful guy and a beautiful family. But a gentleman came and volunteered at our event. He volunteered at the beer stand at 10 o'clock. I always remember that morning. And he showed up to serve beer. And, of course, I'm running around with my hair on fire. I've got 10,000 things to do, checking people in. So I told him, I said, I want to hear how things are going with you and your wife. His wife had stage 4 cancer. She was 30. He was 32. A couple hours go by. He comes up to me. Now he's holding a little guy in his arms. I'm going, you didn't have him earlier. And he goes, no, Ted. I want to thank you, though. You made this a miraculous day. And I was like, that's a pretty bold statement. So I kind of shunned it. But I said, talk to me. What's going on with your wife? And he told me some just harrowing stories about how, you know, it's so hard keeping normalcy. The kids are too young, 5 and 3, to understand what mom is going through. But the same token, when mom falls on the ground, she has to lay on the kitchen floor and the kids play around her till daddy comes home to pick her up. The end was near, so her parents moved in with them to help out to keep normalcy because he had to work. Mm-hmm. That particular day, while he was out serving beer, she woke up from her morning nap and wanted to come to the event to celebrate life. Mm-hmm. So the parents brought her and the kids out, and I immediately said, you know, meet Chad. Where is she at? I'd love to meet her. Right. And he said, too late, Ted. You already missed her, but that's okay. He pulls out his phone. That year I had Jerry Schmidt. I got music too, folks. Jerry Schmidt was playing at noon that year, and he plays this video on his phone to me and shows his wife dancing with their 3-year-old son, a real slow dance. And it was really moving. And then at the end of the video, he turns the phone off. He turns to me, says, "Ted, that's why I called a miraculous." And he thanked me for giving her her last dance with her son. And he has it on memory, on recording. And I was like, I was blown away, folks. And that's why we're doing this. We're helping people. And that didn't cost a penny. We just we provided an opportunity for them to make memories.
And we will have more with Ted Hartke, talk about Saturday's big fundraiser with Extra Innings in just a few minutes at 7:52 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, the market had a bumpy ride on Monday, trying to figure out exactly what the newly announced tariffs may mean to agriculture exports. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and no doubt the tariff back and forth is continuing, and it's really impacting not only agriculture economy, but also the U.S. economy as a whole. Ted McKinney is the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. He says right now that imbalance has to be rectified, and he believes that production agriculture is ready for a bumpy ride if there's better balance in the end.
Clearly, negotiations cannot be a highly public thing. So if they come forward as we hope they are, and they will, then I think we're going to be better off recognizing that we're having this bumpy period. There's no doubt, and the president told us that. We hope to get past this. I am hearing that negotiations are occurring with China. We want some element of that market. I think we can get there, but it's all under wraps, and so hang on, and then we can talk again.
Ted McKinney, he is the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. He also reminds agriculture that we're not seeking unfair trade that's overly beneficial to the United States, just looking for fair trade. Well, the market still seems to have an upset stomach about the potential for these tariffs. Markets lower in overnight trade. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Monday, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 167. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half, 164 and a half, while AA butter dropped a penny, 258 a pound. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 12 right now, 1731. December new crop corn's down a penny at 417. November new crop beans down a penny and a half at 1005. Right now, September wheat's down a penny and a half at 540 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where numbers stand so far on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be sunny and muggy again today. Our high right around 88 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, some locally heavy rain tonight and tomorrow. We'll get to 67 tonight, 79 with a scattered thunderstorm or two likely tomorrow, with more rain tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, Jim Santel. We'll discuss the big takeaways of the last term of the Supreme Court.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Is ready to do some road tripping with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. They will be hitting the road starting tomorrow with stops in Oshkosh, Butternut, and Hayward. So join them. Join Jane, Todd, Greg, all about sharing stories about what makes Wisconsin great. So catch the special road trip editions of Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show coming up starting tomorrow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on Todd's show today, he's actually broadcasting from the studios in Racine, and he will have, he'll be talking to, I guess Aaron Zomers will be there as well, making a special appearance in Racine. You're going to want to gather around, folks. And then on Maggie Dawn, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, will be a guest co-host. That's coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The latest crop report, or ag report, I guess you could call it, is in from the USDA for Wisconsin. Clearly, there's no drought anywhere. Nobody is reporting that they're very short on topsoil moisture. In fact, 20% report surplus moisture. Corn silking is at 13%. The soybeans are 44% blooming. Oh, but why stats when we can just go right to the source? We can go right to the farm up in Lincoln County. Hans Breitenmoser is standing by. He's got his corn. He's got his oats. He's got his soybeans. And he's got his cows. Hans, good morning. How are they all doing?
And I'm full of anecdotal evidence, so I don't have any actual facts and figures, but I can tell you what's going on up here and on my little farm.
And going well so far?
Yeah, yep. So okay. We're just going to start chopping our new seedings this morning. So in other words, the hay ground that we seeded down this spring with a nurse crop of forage oats mixed with alfalfa, clover, and some grasses that we planted this spring. We are going to take a first cutting of that here today.
So that forage is that, I mean, that's quite the combination there. That sounds like, you know, like the ultimate trail mix if you're a cow. You know?
That is the ultimate trail mix if you're a cow. And if you can get it early enough and so forth, it's very digestible and has lots of protein and should make some milk for us.
You ever mix peas in with your oats?
Yep, years ago we did that. We haven't done that for several years, but that's a forage crop that guys do, peas and oats. Yep.
The reason I ask is that my wife Sherry, who grew up on a farm, and occasionally there'd be oats and peas, and she'd talk about, you know, being able to go out into the field and get the peas, you know, right there out of the field. And a couple years back now, we're up to four grandkids now, but when we had our two grandsons, she showed them one time how to go out into the field, you know, amongst the oats and the peas and where to get the peas. And I tell you, every summer after that, when they'd go back to her parents' farm in Manitowoc County, they'd be like little piggies out there in the field, could not get enough of the fresh peas that were growing right there on the farm. And again, I mean, these are kids that have never lived on a farm, but when they get there, it is just so fun to watch them go, wow, these peas taste different than what comes in a can. Isn't that great?
Yeah, well, they are a little different, but the cows tend to like them as well. So.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, whenever the rare times that the field across the street here has some peas and oats, you might see Sherry sneaking over just to grab a little something here. Let's talk about the state budget again for a second because the real theme here is that there's something for everybody to like and something that anybody can not like. And there is an article in the Wisconsin State Farmer from the, you know, Gannett USA Today network. Colleen Kotke wrote it and talked about the things that were in the state budget that agriculture advocates do like that are in there. Clearly, there are things missing as well. But Hans, as you were looking at that and thinking about what the legislature ended up doing, can we start by pointing to a couple of things that were positive developments in the state budget bill?
Sure. Yeah, I think the $30 million to county conservation staff was a plus. You know, I was on the county board here in Lincoln County for 10 years, and I was on the Land Services Committee, and I know that that staff does good work. It's important work. It's the kind of work that keeps our surface water and groundwater clean, keeps erosion from happening as much, and so forth. So I think that will be for rural counties, that's going to be a real plus and a welcome addition. I think also the three new staff for DADCAP is a good thing as well, because again, you can have programs, but without staff, how do you implement them, right? So those are things that I think were really important, and I'm glad they did get done.
So there were things that were in there, but there was a food security grant, there was a CDL driver training grant program, and things like that. But I know Wisconsin Farmers Union also said that there were some missed opportunities, like excluding a Wisconsin local food purchase assistance program from consideration in the budget. Did you see as well things like that really could have, should have been in the budget and didn't make the final cut?
Well, I think LFPA is the thing, right? I mean, that was that just makes sense. It makes sense on all fronts. It makes sense for, dollars spent for food security for people and money going straight to farmers. So I'm really confused as to why that didn't make it in there, because it did seem to have some bipartisan support. And so that was definitely a disappointment. One thing that I don't know enough about that I probably should is that food security grant and what that's about, because $10 million is not a small amount of money. And so one wonders if that has the potential to make up some of the, some of what we're losing with LFPA. But, it's also unfortunate, too, when you have a program that works and you have staff there, doing it and so forth. To get rid of it and start something different, that's just perplexing to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and what I would say to that, first I'm gonna begin by saying this is speculative on my part, but let's start with childcare. We heard about how Republicans did not want to give Governor Evers a win in terms of childcare. Why? I have no idea. But they created a different way to fund childcare, which again had some funding, but it wasn't the same. And like you said, you have to learn certain things. And I'm seeing a parallel here in the LFPA, the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, that again is an opportunity to help strengthen local food sourcing. And instead, this food security grant program is $10 million to provide grants to nonprofit food banks in Wisconsin to buy locally grown and processed food for those in need. So, like you said, it may be similar, but the LFPA was a known thing. It was working. And if the only reason they didn't fund it is because Governor Evers wanted it, that would not be a good thing if that's true.
Well, yeah, but that also wouldn't surprise me. I mean, politics pure. But, at the risk of, trotting out cliches, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This was a thing that was not broke. Mm-hmm. And so with this new program, I would say the devil's in the details, and it'll be interesting to understand better, where that money's going to go. Because, I mean, I feel like LFPA did a good job in getting the dollars directly to farmers and getting the food directly from farmers to people, right? So it was straightforward, it was efficient, and it checked all the boxes. And so I'm cautiously optimistic, and I don't know enough about this food grant security deal to poo-poo it one way or the other. But if it is a situation where a lot of dollars are going to go to some distributor who happens to be located in Wisconsin but is getting food from all over and whatever else, well, then it definitely misses the mark. And we had a system that hit the mark real well. So that's what's a little frustrating for me.
So it certainly makes me want to find out who put that language in, who was behind it, right? What was their motivation? And again, I'm going to try to keep an open mind, but like you said, something was working already.
Yeah. Yep.
There was another story, coincidentally, also done by Colleen Kotke. I want to give her credit for this, which was about the
you know, increasing number of farmers and farm workers who are suing Bayer, the maker of Monsanto, a widely used herbicide. And obviously, there are a lot of cases of cancer and things happening with workers, with farmers. But Bayer, which makes Roundup, now facing more than 180,000 lawsuits around the country, has been pushing legislation at the state level that would shield the company from liability. And they're claiming that it's not, you know, like blanket immunity, that it's just it provides some clarity in what these lawsuits are suing for. It certainly doesn't pass the smell test. In other words, I don't want to smell this because I might get cancer.
Yeah. No, that's dirty pool. I mean, if you're producing a product and there's hazards with it, then you have to be able to step up and defend it. But to try and, you know, change the rules on how the referee operates so that you don't have to defend it is total BS. And we should be calling BS on that. Roundup has been used for years and years and years. It's used a lot now. I think it's overused in my estimation. It has become this tool that farmers use, and you know, farmers are going to use the tools at their disposal because we're especially corn and beans. They're very thin margin crops and so forth. So you know, it's a herbicide that works, but I do feel like it's totally overused at this point. But beyond that, you know, this issue has, in my estimation, as much to do with, you know, big companies being able to write the rules to keep themselves protected, as it does with the, you know, this particular herbicide.
Yeah. And so right now, according to the article, the label on Roundup does not include warnings about potential cancer-causing effects or requirements to use personal protective equipment beyond regular clothing. And Bayer is saying, well, without this immunity, you know, they may stop producing it and that would impact crops. But the article goes on to say, well, if Bayer stops making Roundup, what will happen is we'll get this from China instead, where, you know, worker safety is not a thing. And we're basically just transferring, you know, our cancer. We're outsourcing our cancer, essentially, is the way it sounds, when it would just be easier to properly label your stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think there's the truth in labeling is a good thing, regardless if you're talking about, you know, cigarettes or glyphosate or any other product. That to me has less to do with ag and more to do with just living in a free society where you can trust your government to do the right thing. But I mean, at the risk of going down a rabbit trail, Pat, I think, again, this has to do with how our politics is driven. And as long as it's driven by money, to the extent that it is, then that's when lousy legislation is going to come about, because it's coming from a bad place.
Yeah. Again, serve the people who voted for you, not the people who are giving to you.
Exactly.
I don't know
that's what it goes down to.
How we can make it any easier. And it's difficult to say what we need are more maverick Republicans who will stand up and say we should put these safety labels on, when that shouldn't be maverick behavior. That should be as bipartisan as it gets. And sadly, it is not. Hans Brighton Moser, as always, thank you so much for these stories and for all you do. You got a busy day ahead of you. Thanks so much for starting it with us.
You bet. Well,
I shouldn't say start it with us. You're like 3 hours into your day already, aren't you?
Silly. Yeah, it takes me a really long time to drink that first cup of coffee.
That's it. Yeah. Silly city boy. All right, Hans, thank you very much. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For others, we're going to have our new Way Up North segment Tuesday mornings at 7:50. And folks who are living up along Lake Superior, and we will be visiting with Jeff Renicky, executive director of the Friends of the Apostle Islands, and talk about Donald Trump's executive order attempting to whitewash the history of our national parks. And when we're all back together in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Dan Schaefer and by Chad Holmes. Remember, you can follow us at upnorthnewswi.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the Legacy Program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes, and we are continuing our conversation with Ted Hartke, Executive Director of Extra Innings, who has a special cancer fundraiser on Saturday. I scream for the cure cancer fundraiser, and it'll be from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. this Saturday at JoJo's Jungle on Stettin Drive in Wausau.
Amen.
I scream for the cure.
Yeah, that was a stroke of genius.
It's just
a pun on words, folks. Yep. We're having an ice cream so-so. I figured July, hot Saturday. Let's have fun. Let's create a loving environment. So what we're going to do out there at JoJo's this Saturday, 10 a.m. it starts. We're going to have the radio stations there broadcasting live. So we're going to have party music. We're going to have face painters for kids. We're going to be giving out ice cream, and we're going to be also serving hot dogs and hamburgers hot off the grill. And we're just going to have fun from 10 to 2. And again, helping, raising funds for cancer patients. But this is unique because we're really tapping into the kids. And I want the kids to know more about what we're doing and families to know more about Extra Innings, because still most people don't know about me. We're relatively new. We're not United Way. You know, we're a small charity, but I think we're doing it the right way. And it's called Extra Innings. So if you get a chance, please come out Saturday, meet me. I'd love to meet you and hear your stories, folks.
And that's another aspect of what you do. And you say it's not just about coming out. And I'm sure that, you know, any donation is so welcomed. But for you, again, it's about those stories. It's about finding out about what the journey has been like for these folks, and I guess, you know, again, it's just, it's such a wide swath. It's well, I guess the word I would use is humanity.
It's humanity. It's you know, spreading love, you know, like, you know, Jesus taught us to do, and help others. And I never know who I'm going to be speaking to, Chad. Like you, when I met you, I didn't know Chad. Believe it or not, folks, because I came from Ohio a couple years ago. But I've learned Chad. He's a great human being. And that's what I'm talking about. When I talk to people, I don't know who I'm going to talk to. I may be talking to somebody who all of a sudden then tells me a great, you know, something happened in their life or how they've been impacted, or maybe they want to help, or maybe they're a face painter on the side, or maybe they want to be an employer sponsor of basically of our events, or maybe they work for an employer and they can help spread the word. Or they know a group of people or their neighbor who's mourning the loss of her husband, and will this be great for her? She needs to hear about this. Please share it with her. It's just amazing. You don't know who you're going to meet and what their stories are unless you open your mouth and you talk a little bit.
Let me give you the opportunity, because you said it, there's so many aspects to it, but the financial aspect, it allows the group, the extra innings, to help these folks. And we've talked in the past about sending the kids to the camp, which is just so heartwarming. But you need the support. And the thing about it is, you said it, when they hear about it, there's people that want to help.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there right now, whether they are an individual, a group, a company, what do they need to think about and do?
Well, there's a couple things. There are three ways you can help. Three ways. One, you can be a sponsor. If you're a business, you can be a sponsor, but individuals can sponsor through a donation, or it could be a raffle basket, or it could be an auction item. I literally this morning answered a Facebook messenger to a person I met at the Iola Car Show this week. Mm-hmm. She's so compassionate and wants to help. She wants to make chocolate chip cookies. And she went to bring a couple of tins to our event to give out to people. And I said, absolutely, please. See, there's so many ways people can help. It's not always about money.
No.
But if you are a sponsor, you know, I'm always looking for good sponsors to jump on board. Like this weekend, where you got to thank our two big sponsors, new sponsors, Baird Financial and the Mosquito Authority, are both helping cover the cost of the of our ice cream social.
Got the burgers, got the buns, got the food, got the ice cream. I mean, booyah. again, it adds up quickly,
right.
And we don't want it to be all on your shoulders. Right. We want to have folks help as well.
So that was the one way. Remember, I said three ways.
That's only
that's
one.
Easy to remember. Three things when you end up changing the station after an hour or whatever. Three things. One, you can be a sponsor. Two, you can be a volunteer. Volunteers are hard to come by. So. And folks, I don't pay volunteers. I mean, that's an oxymoron. I don't understand that. Everybody nowadays is paying for volunteers.
Paid volunteers is truly, you're talking about opposites.
I don't understand it. To me, volunteer in honor of a loved one lost to cancer. Even if you didn't know the person, maybe it was grandma and you never got to know her, you know, donate an hour of your time in honor of her. You know, what a great way to remember her. And you're being involved. And trust me, you will be rewarded, you know, emotionally. And we're going to have so much fun at all of our events. And there's many ways you can volunteer, and you can always reach out to me. And then the third way is just, you know, coming and supporting us. If you just want to walk around, you know, our events are different. Everyone goes to, like, Chalk Fest, Balloon Fest, The Glow, you know, Iola Car Show. And what do they all have in common? You're going to spend money. You're going to, you know, whatever, parking, admission, walking around, buying food, buying drink, listening to music, having a good time, and going home.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's going for a good cause, too.
Right.
Our event does that, but more, because at our event, you're also gonna cry. And that's the big thing, you know. And I mean cry because of our luminary service.
You're going to feel.
And you're going to feel, and that's important.
Yeah.
And you're going to help people feel. We all can be there, and we can lend a shoulder to people who are hurting. So that's what I'm trying to do, create a better community here in Wausau. If you like what we're doing, please, I implore you to get involved with us. Make us better. Help us help others.
And how can they make that donation?
Okay. On our website, we have a www.extrainnings-wi.com. WI for Wisconsin.
So extra innings is all one, and then the
dash WI.com. And right there on the page, there's ways you can donate. You can also sponsor. You can sign up to be a volunteer. Another way is look me up on Facebook, and you can reach out through Facebook Messenger. Again, extra innings or my name. I also have an account, Ted Hartke, H-A-R-T-K-E. Thirdly, I'll give you my phone number right now. You can tell you how I'm not afraid of meeting people. My number is 715-409-1302. 409-1302.
I Scream for the Cure Cancer Fundraiser, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. this Saturday at JoJo's Jungle, 4200 Stettin Drive in Wausau. Ted Hartke, Executive Director of Extra Innings, and I look forward to being there, broadcasting live Saturday morning starting at 10, and hopefully you'll be.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is threatening to slap new tariffs on nations that buy Russian oil and gas if the Kremlin doesn't reach a ceasefire with Ukraine in 50 days. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
More than a dozen countries could face these 100% secondary tariffs on their exports to the U.S. We're talking about things with energy ties, farming ties.
There are calls for an investigation into the National Park Service response to a wildfire that tore through the Grand Canyon after it was allowed to burn for days. Thomas Sulpizio is president of the Grand Canyon Historical Society.
All we saw was billowing clouds of smoke, and the apprehension started to build.
June's Consumer Price Index will be released in